You're listening to the Release City Church online experience. Hey, listen, we really hope today's message is one that will encourage you, inspire you, and challenge you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks again for listening. Now let's check it out.
I'm so glad. So glad that you're here today, because I believe that God called me to be here today, and I believe that God called you to be here today, because there is something that he wants you to hear. How many of you have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord wants to say today? How many are ready to dive into the Word this morning? All right, let's do it for the next 30 minutes. Let's go in deep, okay? Here we go. It's not going to be deep, but it's going to be real good groceries for you this morning. As many of you know, we have spent the past couple weeks moving, and after the passing of both of our parents, Josh and Brittany came to us and asked, would we be willing to move into the home, purchase the home, take the home, so that way the home didn't move or leave our family. We wanted to keep it into the family. Matter of fact, our wonderful male lady came to our new home, my parents' home, the other day, and it just so happened it was the same male lady who serviced us at the other home. And so I walked out and I said, "We moved." Of course, she already knew that. And she said, "I'm so sorry to hear about your parents." And she's like, "I just didn't understand when I got the move status, why y'all would leave this beautiful home." And I said, because God had something better. I'm glad that you think that was the beautiful home, but I believe that God had something better, because there's no place, absolutely no place like home. And so over the past couple weeks, we have been moving diligently. Our goal was to get into the home. And now we don't have everything there, but we had everything we need. You know, the things, all that stuff in the garage, attic, and shed that you ain't touched in 8 years. I don't know if I'm trying to decide if I'm going to leave that for the buyers of our home or I don't know. But anyway, I just tell you what, we accumulate so much stuff, but we were able to get everything in because our goal was to be able to have Thanksgiving in our parents' home with Josh and Brittany, and we made that happen with the help of a lot of people who came and helped us get moved, and so thankful for friends in the community that made that happen. But let me say this, moving is a daunting task. Anybody ever moved? Have you ever stayed in one location for 10 years or more and then moved? You accumulate so much stuff just in the course of half your life. And why do we do it? Because we say crazy things like, "I might need this." I have found myself, somebody came to the house the other day and I was throwing something out and they said, "You might." I said, "Don't even say it. Don't even say it. Because if I don't get rid of it, somebody else is going to have to later in life." And I'm just telling you, keep your stuff together. Amen. Think about the next person. I love them, but man, so we because it's not like you just move in one person, and we didn't just move their stuff out. It's called blending. We're blending things, and man, anyway, I don't have enough time in this service to say, but these boxes. Everybody say boxes. Boxes are very helpful in moving. You can do a lot with these things. You can stack them. It doesn't take long to realize that you need some good support, some good tape, and that Dollar General tape don't work on the bottom. Come on, somebody, hear me. Now, if you work at Dollar General, I'm sorry, I just put them on blast, but their tape don't work. Have you ever put stuff in there and you thought you did the right thing by taping it, and you start carrying it out and the bottom falls out, and then you had to say, then you end up saying something you had to repent for on Sunday? Come on, somebody. I'm not, I may or may not, I'm just saying that, thank God, Amy Weber said, "Let's don't use boxes this year." That's a true story too, by the way, this year. Because we counted one time in the first 12 years of our marriage, we moved 10 times. That is not a lie. So we're pretty good. Matter of fact, I called Mike Colley the other day. He goes, "Hey, y'all got everything moved?" Because he's always, Mike Colley is my friend, one of my best friends from up in Georgia. And he said, "Yo," he's helped us move over the years, over the course of those times. He said, "You got everything moved?" A little inside joke about the stuff in the attic. I said, "All but the attic." Mike, hello. So anyway, so Amy, we went to Walmart and we have made an investment in plastic crates. I'm just telling you, we have made an investment. And I got the ones that you have to carry. Amy Weber came back and said, I don't know what you're doing, but these babies got wheels on them. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for modification. Yeah, for modification. We no longer have to use the cardboard box. But cardboard boxes are so cool because they're great for packing. They're great for, you can put labels on it. You can label what's inside of it. Sometimes you have to hope that's what it's inside of it. Never mind. Thank you, Holy Spirit, brought that right back. Some of y'all are like, what? Because I know one day I'll see him again. And I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about my earthly daddy. So I'll leave that right there. What I found over the years is this. Boxes are great for packing. But boxes are not good on people. Somebody say, what you talking about? We put people in boxes and then we label them. Yeah. We put people inside of boxes and we label them. Matter of fact, it starts from a very young age. Y'all know, I always go for Susie or Sally because that's in my vocabulary, and so I got to use a different one so they don't think I'm picking on them. Aunt Gertrude, how's that? I ain't no Gertrude in the house, I hope. Aunt Gertrude would always say, I just believe, I can just see he's going to be an airplane pilot. What'd you just do? You put that baby in a box. Well, my sweet little girl, when she grows up, she's going to be a nurse. What'd you do? Put him in a box. Some of you sitting in this room today have had people speak things over your life, and you felt like you had to do it, and all you did, because that wasn't what God had for you, so all you found your life doing was running inside of a box, trying to escape the box. And about the time you do, somebody comes up and goes, no, you're supposed to... What we do? Boxes are great for moving. You can pack them, stack them, label them, but they are horrible for relationships and people. I want to speak to you for the next few moments from this subject. Drop the box. Drop the box. Now, this probably doesn't seem like a Christmas holiday message. It's a two-part message. We're going to pick it back up. I believe on the 20th, if my calendar's right, because next Sunday is the kids program, and it will migrate into the nativity scene, and we're gonna have communion together. I had a family that had just started recently coming to the church several months back, and said, "Hey, do you guys believe in communion?" Absolutely, but COVID kind of put, you know, I just want to make sure we're doing things right, so we're gonna do communion a little different, and we're gonna purchase the little kind, almost speaking of airplanes, we're gonna get the kind that you would give out if you did communion on an airplane, where you're gonna get the cup and the bread all in one slot. Okay, but we're gonna take communion together before we break, because that'll be the last Christmas together until we step into 2021. So hang with me, drop the box. If you brought your Bibles this morning, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Because boxes, some of you in this room have found yourself in a box because people have spoken things over you. But every one of us, nudge your neighbor, say, that means you, buddy. Or but it. Not, that was with a D, not a T. Some of y'all got that. Okay. Every one of us carry boxes, whether you're moving or not, because we are moving through life. All of us carry boxes. And when we, especially if you're a people watcher, you're in the mall and you're watching people and you're automatically putting them in a box. You don't even know it. What do you do when you pull up to the light there in front of Target on Archer Road and there's that little guy doing the, with no shoes on and a t-shirt with holes in it, and he's bouncing the ball trying to get some money, right? What do? We stick him in a box. Boxes are dangerous. Boxes are limiting. Boxes are restricting. Box will stop the flow of what God wants to do in their life, and you participated in it. Boxes will also stop the flow of what God wants to do in your life because you allow people to put you in a box. Well, how do I do that? Because I get up every morning and I'm looking through Instagram and how many liked and how many hearted and how many double tapped, and you put yourself in a box because you found your self-worth in someone else's approval. I'm talking some good Christmas stuff right here. Because Jesus showed us exactly what was important. The Son of Man came not to the Hilton. He came to the stable out back. I love that message that I preached. Jesus came to get messy. He came in a mess, prepared to get messy, because sheep are nasty. That's why God calls us sheep. Sheep stink. Sheep get stuff on them. But Jesus is not afraid of our mess. He came in a mess to get to our mess. I just reached back in the vault there for just a second. When I started thinking about boxes, I immediately went to this story that we're going to read real quickly. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Now, this is going to be a take on this story, because this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and I have preached this message before. Not this message, but this verse. And I think I titled it, Rip the Roof Off. I can't remember, but this is going to be a different way, and it's going to be a Christmas story. Check it out. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 says this: one day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees, everybody say Pharisees, and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Verse 18, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. Remember, the crowd was not the people in the world. The crowd was actually the religious people who pretended to have it all together and know it all. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles, then lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith. Everybody say their faith. Say it again. Say their faith. Say it again. Say their faith. Jesus seeing their faith. It was their faith. It's your faith. It's your faith. It's no matter what you're going through, your faith believing that God's going to see you through. It's your faith that's going to change this city. It's your faith, not just somebody else out there that's going to come in here and hear the message of gospel and change their life. It's going to be your faith that actually entices them, and that Jesus is going to move on your faith to see mountains move in the lives of other people because of your faith. It didn't say the faith of the paralyzed man. It said because of their faith, Jesus said to that man, young man, your sins are forgiven. This messed them religious people up. But the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law said to themselves, who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Remember, they didn't say it to each other. They said it to themselves. That means they thought it. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. For the Father up above is looking down in love. And sometime disappointment. He said, only God can forgive. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them. Boy, that'd mess me up. I'm thinking something, and then Jesus is going to call me out, put my business on blast. So Jesus says, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority, we sang about that this morning, has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And immediately, everybody say immediately. Let me tell you, when Jesus puts the stamp on it, it's immediate. And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home, praising God. Everyone is gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praise God, exclaiming, we have seen amazing things today. Release City Church, in 2021, I want every time we gather in here, whether it's a Sunday or a Wednesday or any other alternative day, I want us to walk out of here and go, we have seen some amazing things. I'm believing for some signs and wonders. I'm believing for miracle signs. I'm believing for things. I'm believing for restored homes, restored marriages, broken and shattered lives to be made whole and restored. That's the message of the gospel. That's why you're here, because whether you want to admit it or not, you are also broken in need of restoring, just like I am. So when I start thinking about boxes, I immediately remember this story in the Bible. And this house where Jesus was teaching was in fact a house, but it also became a box. Here is Jesus, watch this, here is Jesus teaching, and he's not teaching the worldly crowd. Instead, he's teaching the Pharisees, the religious crowd. And it's almost as though the religious crowd want to keep Jesus all to themselves, so they made sure that nobody could get in. But there was some friends who had a friend, and he was paralyzed, and they tried to get into the house, which the religious people had created a box, and they made sure that he couldn't get in. And something I've learned about Jesus is that when Jesus sees that there's a need or there's somebody trying to get inside what someone has tried to restrict him of, he has an awesome way of crashing, breaking open the box. We put church in a box and label it Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal. I like to swing from chandeliers, hashtag. Whatever the... We put the church in a box. And Jesus is saying, drop your box. There's people who need me, but you're too busy doing your presentation. So here they are. Inside the home, inside the box with Jesus, and someone who's outside of the house who has a need, but they can't get inside the box. Nudge your neighbor and say, drop the box. I don't think the religious people really got the message of who Jesus truly is and was, and what Jesus was really about. Because if they did, they would understand that Jesus is not about putting himself in a box. Here's these guys, they're bringing their friend in. He's got a need, he's paralyzed. But Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. That's the thing that we need to understand about Jesus. He works from the inside out. We see the exterior. Clearly, the man was paralyzed. And this is what drove the Pharisees crazy, because they were like, Jesus, stick to the healing stuff. They put him in a box. Stick to the healing stuff. Only the Son of Man can actually forgive sins. Stick to the healing. Stay in your lane, Jesus. Do we do that as a church? Church as a whole? Stay in your lane, Jesus. This is what we're going to do this Sunday. Pastor B prints it out. This is what we're supposed to do, Jesus. You can't move today. No, that's just a preliminary. God, we want you to come in here. You can shatter this thing, this list of what we want to do. We just want you. That's all that matters. We'll drop the box, crush the box, crash the box. Come on, Jesus, you're the healing guy. They put him in a box. Remember, they've always tried to do that to Jesus. That's Joseph's son. He's just the carpenter's boy. They put him in a box. Remember I said it started from a young age. He's just that little boy from Nazareth. Who does he think he is, forgiving sins? Only God can do that. He's Joseph's boy. Have you ever felt like you were in a box? Have you ever felt labeled because of the color of your skin, or the way you speak, or the car you drive, or the clothes you wear? Or the house you live in, have you felt like you're in a box? I'm not saying your house is in a box. I'm saying that people actually look at you and have labeled you because of what they see on the exterior. And the list could go on and on and on. But I've got some life tips that I want to give you in part one and part two that I want to leave with you today. Point number one is this. I've already established it. Don't put people in a box. This Christmas, you're going to be around more people in the next 3 weeks than you've been around in the past couple months. Don't put people in a box. When we put labels on people and try to define them based on something that they say or what they're wearing, we end up limiting God and what he wants to do in their lives. If you'll give me permission and the liberty to do so, I want to talk to you for the next few moments, just a few moments, from the perspective of the other person. The other person, nudge that person next, sitting next to you and tell them, say, not you, not you, not you, not you, not you, not you. The other person, the person that you put in the box, because it doesn't, listen, drop the box. I want to come from the perspective of the other person. If I could speak to them today, if I could speak for them today, that gentleman on the side of the road, and on Archer, that person on the other side of the gas tank that you've seen, that you, whether you realize it or not, you dropped them in a box and you didn't even know it. If I could speak for them, it might sound like this. Listen, I am more than the clothes I wear, the style, the designer, the label, or the store I bought them in. For those who get caught up on the appropriate attire for church, listen, whether it's a t-shirt and jeans, it does not make me disrespectful, nor business casual mean that I have my life put together. Please drop the box. I'm more than the car I drive. No matter what year, make, or model, it does not mean I'm showing off or that I'm struggling. I am just blessed to have something to drive, and I'm thankful for it. Please drop the box. I'm more than the house that I live in. A big house does not make me bougie, and a one-bedroom apartment does not mean I'm broke or can't handle money. I'm working on some things, and I'm learning to live within my means. Please drop the box. I am more than my GPA. Thank you, Jesus. I am more than my GPA. Listen, graduating at the top of my class does not make me a natural, and it doesn't mean it came easy. I've had to put in the hours, the hard work, and nothing about that is easy. Struggling in school doesn't make me stupid. There are obstacles that I have had to endure that transcripts cannot show. None of that means I don't work hard, dream big, or give my best to ensure that I have the best future possible. Please drop the box. I am more than my relationship status on a social media platform. Whether single, married, or divorced, I am more than a political party I voted for, who I have given my vote for, does not make me racist. It does not mean that I don't care about the rights of people and that I'm pro or anti anything. I am smart enough to know that voting for someone does not mean that I agree with everything that person does or believes. Please drop the box. I am more than the amount of zeros in my bank account. Having a lot does not mean I'm snooty, and having little does not mean that I'm lazy. I'm a hard worker, and nobody handed me anything, and even if they did, I had to fight to keep it. It is possible for me not to be motivated to have more zeros. Perhaps I'm just content with the people that I have more than the things I have. Please drop the box. I am more than a status on social media. I am more than a like, and I am more than a double tap. Listen, my shouts don't mean that I'm angry, and my silence does not mean that I'm compliant. Please drop the box. You may keep going. I am more than my mistakes. While I own them, they do not own me. What I've done in moments of weakness does not always reflect who I really am. I may have made some mistakes, but I am not a mistake. Let me just share this for the people in the front, middle, and back. If your parents made some choices in dating and then conceived you, and then they speak things like that was a mistake, that is not, does not mean that you are a mistake. Let me just speak to the world, the spirit world. Just the thing that you hear in your ear sometimes, like I hear in mine. I know nobody want to talk about that. Your conception may be a little sketchy, but it was not a mistake. I may have made some mistakes, but I am not a mistake. I am always changing. I'm always learning. Thank God I'm always discovering who I truly am. And the pen of my life is in the hands of the author and the finisher of my faith, and he is still writing a new chapter as we speak today. Please drop the box. What I've come to learn in my Christian walk is this. God is not moved by the labels that we put on a box. He's moved by lifters. I'm going back to the story in Luke 5. He's not moved by labels. He's moved by lifters. Those three, four gentlemen brought their friend to Jesus and did what? They lifted him. And then made sure that he got in front of the one who could actually answer his need. See, they thought he just needed to be set free from paralyzation. Is that a word? I don't know, but it sounds good. But Jesus knew that he needed something deeper than that. He works from the inside out. He said, your sins are forgiven. Now get up and walk. See, we're too busy worried about the drink in someone's hand, but Jesus is more concerned about the content of what's going on inside his heart. I'm not saying that that's not important, but what I am saying, there's a priority level, and Jesus proved it. Talking to the Pharisee world, talking to the religious people who want to talk about, but look at the drink in his hand. Look at the judgmental heart in yours. Okay, I'll move on. Because this battle is his battle. But sometimes we got to speak out of our mouth so the spirit world can hear. Remember, just because I'm silent doesn't mean that I'm compliant. And just because I shout about it doesn't mean that I got it all together. Because sometimes people in church shouting... That's not for you to get quiet, because the talk back is real, real good, because that lets me know that you're getting something, and that just means just keep dishing it out. Nudge your neighbor, tell him, say, drop the box. Listen, we see the Son of Man wasn't impressed with labels. He wasn't restricted by this box or this house that they were trying to put him in, but he was moved by the lifters. It is their faith that made him whole. It was in that moment that those men got the attention of God. In closing of part one, the word that I want you to leave from here with today is this. This Christmas season, don't be a labeler. Point number two, don't be a labeler, be a lifter. Don't be a labeler. Be a lifter. This Christmas season, be intentional about not putting labels on people. Some of y'all have that family member. You've labeled them. And you know you've labeled them because you're trying to avoid them. Why are you avoiding them? Because you've labeled them. Drama. Trouble, always needing something. Be a lifter, not a labeler. How are we going to change our city? Is when we actually execute the message of the gospel. When we break the mold, crush the box, drop it, crush the box, crush the norm, crush what society says. That's just the way it's always been. It doesn't have to be that way. Stop being a labeler and be a lifter. Instead of boxing people in, drop the box. Oh yeah, speaking for the other person, living inside the box is no fun, and it's not healthy. And if you're here this morning and you feel like you've been labeled and you're in a box, you're not healthy. Because God never called you. Too bad I already destroyed it. Because God never called you to run that rabbit race inside the box that somebody put you in. God, how come I can't have more? That's because you've allowed yourself to stay in the box. God, how come I'm not getting that promotion? It's because your mindset has limited you, and because you're not performing in the way that what your boss is looking for. Can I just pastor you for a minute and teach? Well, what causes that? A mindset of, I'm in this box and this will never change. We put our marriages in boxes. This will never change. It never starts out in a hotel room, by the way. It starts out with somebody listening. And the enemy will always put something, someone in your ear. Who will listen? I don't know what it is for you, but it starts with you dropping the box. If you'll stop putting people in boxes and labeling them, you're breaking free. We sang this morning. When I open up my mouth, miracles break out and walls come down and boxes get crushed. Drop the box. So this Christmas, don't be a labeler, be a lifter. Help someone breathe. Do you realize if you see somebody in a box and you lift them, can you imagine the breath of fresh air that they're getting to take? Have you ever stuck your face in a box? When you start moving and you start pulling stuff out of attics that ain't been moved in a while and you get all that dust, what do you do? That's the same air you're breathing when you're in the box, and when you put somebody else in there, you're killing them softly and slowly but instead of being a labeler, be a lifter, so that you're allowing them to actually breathe again and see again that God has potential for their life, and the road that they're on, they don't have to stay on, and the marriage that they have, it doesn't have to be that way. Is anybody feeling this morning? I'm feeling a little something. The devil tried to put me in a box this week. I've been able to spend a little time in the house. Amy's back to work. Ansley's back in school. And I'm in the same home that I found my dad in. I'm not trying to go there. I'm not trying to tickle emotions. I just want to be transparent, because I told the leadership team this morning, I never want you to see the anointing on my life and then think that I'm okay. The anointing is the presence of God that carries me. But when I go home and these lights get turned off and I'm at home by myself, I hear the enemy going, you belong back in the box. And it's suffocating to the point you don't want to do it anymore. I know. Drop the box. Drop the box. Maybe it's not a box that you're carrying to put other people in. Maybe you're carrying around your own box. Look at my box. This is what I'm having to deal with. Drop your box. Drop the box. Well, this is the way it's always been. This is the way my parents did it. So I drop the box. Help somebody breathe. Help somebody believe again. Help somebody dream again. See the best in those around you. Assume the best in others. Stop looking for villains and start looking at heroes. We're called to be lifters and encouragers. What happens is, if I box you in and you box me in, then we start boxing. Because we're unhealthy. And God's plan is never for us to be in constant conflict with the people that we're called to do life with. I'm talking about people inside the church. I'm hitting a lot of different things this morning. I hope you catching them. Y'all know that little thing at the fair? The little thing pops up and you bam, 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 bam. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I see. I see I'm hitting stuff, and I hope that you're catching all of them. The enemy's goal is to divide us. And if I put you in a box and you put me in a box, before too long, we're going to get frustrated and we're going to start boxing. I'm going to go back to marriage. That happens in marriage. If I put her in a box and she puts me in a box, guess what we're going to do? We're going to be sparking. Because we were never called to live in a box. What are you talking about?
You're just like your mama. You're just like your daddy.
I'm not saying that conversation is in my house, but I guarantee you it's in at least one house in this room. Huh? I'm trying to scope the room so nobody feels like he looked right at us. We got to stop. I know. Drop the box. I hope you hear those words as you go to sleep tonight. Drop the box. When you open up your eyes in the morning, drop the box. This Christmas, be a lifter, be a helper, be an encourager. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this Christmas word. Because you blew them all away when you sent your son, not to the palace, but to the stable. And you showed us the importance of breaking the mold of what society, no matter what year it is, what society says, we break the box. And we thank you for your son, Jesus. Father, this Christmas season is our prayer that we would become lifters and we would lay down the pen of labeling. Matter of fact, would we lay down the pen in our own lives and stop trying to write the script and put the pen back in the hand of the author and the finisher of our faith and allow you to continue writing the story as we live outside the box. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor B, will you just pray for me right where you sit? You do not have to stand up. I'm not calling you forward. But you just say, you know what? I feel like I've been in a box and I need some fresh air. Would you just lift your hand up in this room? I've been in a box and I need some fresh air. Leave your hand up. And when I say what I'm going to say next, don't put it down. And I'm going to tell you why. Because that's what Jesus said. Holy Spirit said, have everybody open their eyes and look around the room. Look at the ones with their hands up. You're called to be a lifter. That's our job, to be a lifter. And if we can't, and I'm not putting you on blast for those of you who have your hand up. Listen. If we can't do it in here, we'll never do it out there. So whatever I can do, phone call, text. I'm talking to the young man, not the ladies. I love them, but they need to hook up with ladies. This thing on. Whatever I can do through text, call, show up. You told me just the other Sunday, my dad was always there for you. Guess what I do? I pick up the legacy and I'm there. Doesn't matter what time. Now, everybody who had your hand up, keep it up. All the way up, all the way up, all the way up. I don't care if these ladies get connected with five ladies. Before you leave here, if you didn't put your hand up, these people are saying, I need a breath of fresh air. It's time to be the church. That's the altar call today. Connect with them. Invite them to go to Dunkin'. I don't know what ladies do. Y'all go do that. But do it together. Do it together. And y'all know I love you. You know I do. Bernadette, y'all, you know. I do. And I'm always a Facebook message away. That's always true. But I'm quick to say, Amy, I got a message from, and this was my reply. Because I would not be labeled and I would not be put in a box. Crush the box. So, Father, for every person who lifted their hand up today, God, I ask right now that you would just swoop in. Father, just swoop in and just lift them up. God, just as they just guys and ladies, just begin to take deep breath. As you're doing that in the natural, what I'm seeing is God is actually clearing out your spiritual lungs right now. Right now, right now, right now. Just deep breath. Just deep breath. I don't know what's been suffocating you. I don't know what fragrance you've been smelling in the spirit. Come on, stay with me, church. But I'm just telling you, God is wanting and He is doing it now. Breath of fresh air. New hopes. New dreams. Restored hope. Restored dream. Restored vision. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Can we give Jesus some praise this morning, please?
Hey, thanks again for listening today. Our mission at Release City Church is simple. We want to introduce people to the real Jesus by helping them know God, grow in freedom, discover their purpose, and go make a difference in their communities. For service time, staying connected with us, or just to learn more about the different ministries here, be sure to check us out online at releasecitychurch.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. We hope to see you soon.